Scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly, also known as a abuse bitch. Always talking about what he wants, just sits on his broke ass. So, no, I don't want to, you can't have my number, no, I'm not giving you mine, no. I won't meet you nowhere, and I don't want to give you none of my time, cause don't want no scrubs. Scrub is a guy who can't get no love from me, hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at Buspeen. Welcome to Empath of Least Resistance. I'm Annie Hardy, and back with me today for the first time in a long time is Asia. Welcome back, Asia.
Hello, hello.
Asia and I were just trying to think of a funny song to do for the show, and we thought of I Don't Want No Scrubs, and looked at the chords for it, and the lyrics say, a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly, always having an abuse beam.
We've been laughing about it for probably like 45 solid minutes. So
if anyone out there knows what a beast bean is,
don't always have one.
don't always be having a beast bean.
I just had this crazy, like, episode in my mind, like a daydream type situation when you put your cigarette up on the corner there. Mm-hmm. You never hear about those arsonists who do that, like, as, like, a time release to, like, hit an explosive.
Oh, they do?
But yours is right behind, like, a spray can of, like, of explosive, and I was just... I was like, am I not going to say anything? And it was just a dark moment. Anyways, I'm back on this podcast.
And she's always having
and
always.
Or did I never leave?
Just sits on his broke ass. You know, that song's really true. I would say a scrub is another word for a narcissist, and they are always having an abuse bean. Just always talking about what they want. Just sit on their broke ass. Oh, I don't want a scrub. You want a scrub?
No.
A scrub is a guy who can't get.
I just want Buse Bean.
No love for me. Get your hands out of my Buse Bean bottle. Stop trying to throttle me. No scrub. Don't holler at me, you crazy Buse Bean scrub.
You know where we recorded our first episode.
I know, in the garage, because I have an Airbnb guest, and oh yeah.
I feel like we're hiding in someone else's house who doesn't know we're here.
We are. This is the bomb shelter. Don't tell other reality me that we're here doing this.
Oh no, what did that mean?
I don't know.
Don't tell other reality you. Okay.
Well, there's multiple, you know, they say multiple realities and dimensions all exist.
No, I got it. I just
at the same time. It's kind of cold. It's winter. Thanksgiving is coming this Thursday.
Oh, Annie makes the best Thanksgiving food.
It's gonna go the fuck off at my house.
Oh my yes. God, that was so good.
That was so good. We didn't have any leftovers.
No, remember we just sat there and we just kept eating?
And we felt good afterwards still.
Yeah, we didn't feel like the itis.
Yeah, we didn't get the itis because all the ingredients were from the farmer's market. Fresh.
It's weird that meat gives off a chemical that makes you sleepy. There's just something that's really icky about that.
Yeah.
Is it tryptophan or something?
Tryptophan. I'm a fan. Make you trip, fall down, and hit your head again. I don't wanna hit my head.
Whoa.
When the turkey's inside my guts, put two pieces of bacon on this breast to keep it moist and such.
Whoa.
Buspeen. I think it's called Buspeen.
Every time you say it, I don't know you're going to say it, and it just catches me every time. It's not getting less funny. It's been like hours now.
I know. Always. have an abuse fiend.
There's a few recordings of her just saying it and cracking up before we can record this one. We had to do 3 outtakes just because she laughed before she even said abuse fiend.
Why did someone think that it says, a scrub is a guy who thinks he's fly, always have an abuse fiend?
Have you ever thought, like, a song lyric? Have you ever thought a song lyric was something else, or, like, known someone who has, that's been really...
Yeah, Joe actually thought, Tiny Dancer by Elton John, which says, hold me closer,
Tony Danza?
No, he thought it said, no. Hold me closer, tie me down, sir. And so he actually made an Icarus Line song say that. He said, you hold me closer and you tie me down. Tonight's wine girl is the best in town, or something like that.
You only know it perfectly.
I know, I was just thinking, man, it must seem like I'm like really big fan, but I have the musical version.
But you're not.
No, I hate it. I have the musical version of...
That's the way you talked when you try to say it's not racist.
Listen, lady, don't have abuse being here. I'm just saying, I can hear one song and I'll remember the words for the rest of my life perfectly.
Test you, I might test you. I remember one of the first times I hung out with you and you were like gardening and talking to yourself and you did this Tupac fucking line from Picture Me Rolling, and I'm just like, I like double take because you just were talking to plants about whatever and like talking to me about narcs, probably. I don't know, and demons.
Like,
and then,
Picture Me Rolling.
And then you were like, I forget what you said, but I was so impressed. it's why I stuck around.
You know, Tupac is one of my biggest inspirations because he talks so much shit that he got murdered.
I had this week, I think I told you about it, where I was having the most vivid dreams about him every night, where it was like, in each dream I had to kind of hide him, like I was part of hiding him, but like it was kind of, like when I woke up, I like, during the day, I'm like, fuck, I genuinely missed Tupac, like who I was like just with, like I wanted to go back to sleep so I could finish hanging out with him.
I have had dreams
and I started
like
Google
that.
Imaging him and snapshotting them,
oh my God.
I looked back at my phone, like, it was kind of a thing where I'd look at his, like, photos, and I'd, like, oh, I miss him. Like, it was the most sincere. Like, I just met someone so cool, and I, like, wish I could be around them more, and I was, like, excited to go to sleep. And then I got really weird, and I started thinking if I knew anyone who knew his family. I wish I didn't tell this story so far. I can't go back now. Just kidding. Me neither.
Having abuse
fiend. I'm having abuse fiend over here.
I've had dreams about Eminem, for one, where I had a dream about him. I woke up and I had feelings for him.
Yeah, that's the kind of... It was like that, but it wasn't like romantic feelings. It was just like...
Tupac's
in
your
soul
group.
He was just such a good friend, but I didn't like...
He was such a good friend.
No, like he was like this like person when, you know, when you meet someone, you click with them. It wasn't like because he was Tupac. Like, I actually like didn't grow up and listening to a lot of Tupac. Mm. But like, so it was, you'd think if he had more of like an impact on my life, it'd be different. But right. It was more just like I met a really good friend.
Tupac's definitely part of our spirit group. And
he like gave me his cell phone to watch over one of the nights, and I was like, wow, he trusts me. It was so real. And I woke up and I'm like, he trusts me.
That's weird.
Like, I'm telling, it's like I talk about the dream as if I'm talking about like something that happened to me yesterday.
That's like when I had my dream that was the best day of my life in 2005 or 6, where I fell asleep and I dreamt I was in the episode of 90210 laying in a wheelbarrow, and nobody like talked to me. They looked at me, they acknowledged with their eyes that I was there. Brenda and, you know, Brandon and Dylan and Kelly, my best friends. And when I woke up, my leg was draped over the back of the couch exactly in the same position I was in the wheelbarrow in my dream. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the best day of my life. Granted, that year I had played Reading and Leeds Festival.
I know, when you first said, I heard you tell the story, and the way you told it, when you ended it with, that was the best day of my life. It was the most honest thing. You were telling the truth.
I know.
And I was like, I don't know if it was sad or funny.
A little bit of both, I would say.
Because you meant it. You really meant it.
I really meant it, because I didn't appreciate anything that was going on. I guess I sort of discredited myself for anything I had done. But that fluke moment where I was in an episode of 90210, I was like, this is living.
But
this
they is only living. Acknowledged you with their eyes.
Well, yeah. I mean, the episode filmed in the 90s, and this was, like, much later.
What does that have to do with them?
I mean, they could, you know, try to transcend time and space, but when you get down to it, they were in the first 90s. Now we're living in the second 90s. You notice that all the clothes at the mall look all 90s
and ugly? I know exactly what you mean.
It's so ugly. So, no, I don't wanna wear no bodysuits. Giving me camel toe all the time. It's uncomfortable and I don't know why everyone likes looking homeless. I don't wanna be a homeless. Abuse theme. So today's episode of the show, I think, will be about, well, whatever we talk about, I guess, but about living in the present moment. I notice there's a lot of things going down. A lot of Walking Dead robot zombie-isms are on the rise, and I'm starting to think that the Walking Dead robot zombie is just a person who gets so overwrought with programs, like being things we've been programmed by society about, like fear-based programs. When you think about it, the movie The Matrix is really real. We're probably in a gelatinous pod somewhere, just like having a dream of this.
Tupac in the whole.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, in The Matrix, the black guy's like,
Morpheus,
whatever. You laugh at me while you say Morpheus. Like, I'm the weirdo for not remembering. Oh, Morpheus.
I can't tell it was the weird one just then.
So Morpheus is, like, holding a battery. And he's like, yo, like, this people of the world are just, like, human batteries. And it's true. Because, you know, negative, low vibrational energies and feelings that we experience are the food for demons.
Just, I did not know you were going to go there. I'm sorry.
It was pretty quickly that I'm going there to Crazy Town. And then, you know, high vibrational feelings, love, faith, whatever, which are seem a lot less common in society, gratitude, those power the lands of the heavens. And it's just like that movie Monsters, Inc.
What?
You know, they go around capturing the children's fearful screams, and they send that and power the monster.
They find out that laughter is like the stronger energy source.
Oh, see, I've never seen the movie, so I just know
what the
basic
fuck?
Idea. I just thought it was interesting how they capture the scream and then powers hell or the monster.
They go in and scare the children, but then, like, when the kid, like, sneaks back into their world, she starts, like, cracking up, and it makes, like, the whole, like, city
fall apart?
Like, no, just, like, all of the electricity, like, shh, like.
Oh. So well, yeah.
So then at the end, like, they all go in and make the kids laugh instead, because it's higher energy.
Well, that's not what they do in hell, though, unfortunately.
Well, I didn't know that's what we were talking about.
It
I just
is.
Meant, in general, it's crazy how much energy. Like, now that I think about it, like, laughing versus being upset and angry.
I know. And we were talking recently about how when we're in relationships with narcs, we find ourselves not laughing the whole time.
Also, I think the most important thing we realized about this whole narcissist thing, because I keep telling Andy, like, I'm sick of the word and, like, all that, and, she, you know, she isn't.
I'm sick of it.
But no, what her and I were talking about, and like, what we realized is it doesn't, not necessarily even a narcissist, but you know, one of the things that we're drawn to about these people are their mystery. And we realized and identified after a weird chain of events and conversations that what's attractive is these people are the most important person in their life.
Yeah.
So that can be a good thing and a bad thing, because I mean, you know, I guess narcissists would be the people who take advantage of the people who aren't, and they want kind of draw them in. Regardless, we realized that that was something we admire because we're not necessarily, that's not our strong point. And because we care about people and our empaths, allegedly, I didn't mean to say allegedly, but allegedly, according to the podcast name, but no, it's just that's part is what's attractive. And it's like such a, you know, I would, years ago, I'd think that that's a selfish thing, that someone's the most important thing and person in their own life.
In their case, it is, because, you know.
But I'm saying it's a positive thing. And like
not for a narcissist, though, because there's a problem with us and there's a problem with them. And it's the same, you know, coin, just different sides. And theirs is that they overvalue themselves and undervalue others. And with codependents like us, we undervalue ourselves and overvalue others.
It's almost like just one battery, and we kind of are charging theirs.
Exactly. And that's why we're a vibrational match to them, because we are deficient in these areas.
But at the same time, they're a vibrational match to us because we don't, you know.
Well, I found out what that is. I just learned about it. I forget where. Maybe Richard Grannon. Spartan Life Coach.
What?
Spartan Life Coach. He's good. He's like one of the first, you know, authority figures on YouTube whose videos I watched back when there was only like...
Authority figures?
Yeah, well, only two narc authority figures, Sam Vaknin and him at the time. And then now there's narc channels up the wazoo because narcissism is like an epidemic in our society.
Do you know what someone said to me tonight that was funny? I was like telling them about how I did a podcast with you, and then I was saying that it was called Empath's Least Resistance, and then I said something like, I'm against a narcissist because, and this person started dying laughing, being like, that's the most ironic thing ever. The second you make content about being an empath is when you lose it and when you become a narc. But the way he said it, like, it made sense, and the way I understood he was hearing it, like, being like, to talk about, you know, on a podcast about how you're awesome and how you need to be heard, and about how people are bad narcissists.
No, that's not what it's about. That
I know,
doesn't
but,
make
but I made it sound ironic by accident. I explained it wrong, but it was funny.
I guess. We're not talking about how we're awesome. It's two different sides of the same coin. One is a user, and one is someone who, I guess, loves to get used. Always have an abuse meeting. Always talking about what he wants, but just sit on his broke ass. It's true. Narcs / scrubs do sit around talking about what they want to do, what I want to do, blah, blah, blah.
But you know what they do? Like,
they don't do it.
Or maybe they, like, because we hear them say it, and it's just anybody. Like, you know, if someone talks about, like, you know, what you want, they want to do, and someone who cares, they might, like, help them make it happen.
But more likely, they'll just always be taking abuse being and...
Abuse bean.
Always have an abuse bean, sorry. And they don't do anything.
I'm in an abuse bean relationship.
I'm in an abuse bean relationship with a narcissist. Narcissistic abuse bean abuse. Oh, but I was saying, what it is that... Fuck, did I lose it? I demand a recall. I demand a recall, y'all. It was that... Oh, yeah. We are what they want to be, and they are what we want to be. We want to be the most important person in our life, where everything revolves around us, kind of like we give up our whole life to try to...
But do we, know, or do we just want to coexist and be on a team?
Doesn't matter, because that's not what we're doing.
Anymore.
No, that's not what we were doing before. I mean, we were trying to be on a team, but it's not a team when the whole team revolves around one person, which is the narc.
Or it's just their team.
Well, yeah.
And there's a hammer and a nail.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they are the... It's not a team because there's only one person on it. And there's no I in team unless you cross out the three prongs on the E. And then it's... Tiam. There is an I in Tiam. No, but there's not an E-I-O in team. Yes, there is.
But there's a me.
There's a me. What you talking about?
See, there's a, I know I, but there's a me, so...
There is, that's true. And there's an at Me.
You mean backwards?
Inside out and sideways too. If you got a narc on your team, you know that's gonna be a bad team for you and no.
I wish you started saying scrub instead of narc. Every time you say narc, just say scrub.
I think you have to just not have an issue with the word narc anymore.
That's if it's hitting issue, it's
too
just
close
like,
to home,
no, it's not
you
that.
Should
it's just like I feel like thankful for learning about it when I had to. You know what I mean? But now it's like we know what it is. It's like, but also, I don't know. It just for some reason it exhausts me.
Well, I would say probably the narcs are what's exhausting you.
No, just, like, talking about them when they're not supposed to be relevant.
Oh, I just sit on my pack of cigarettes. But they're not supposed to be relevant because they are. Because until you're healed and you don't any longer attract narcissists into your experience, there's something, you know.
But by the law of attraction, you're obviously giving off some kind of energy.
I just told you what it is. We undervalue ourselves and overvalue others. They overvalue themselves and undervalue others. And neither of those things are right.
So why focus on, like, making sure we don't attract them and just focus on valuing ourselves?
Well, that's what we're doing, aren't we?
Yeah.
That is one in the same thing.
But that's what I'm saying, like, my thing about talking about narcs is...
I say drop it. Get over it. I say get over it and accept it because you're in resistance. And this is called empath of least resistance.
But I'm saying, no, I feel like talking about what not to be or, like, what not to be around.
But we're not doing that. We're not talking about anything except what we should be talking about. And thank you for taking me right back to our topic for this evening, which is the program of the Walking Dead robot zombie that catches you in that never-ending feedback loop of, I don't know if this is the right thing I should be doing. I think maybe I should be doing it like this, blah, blah, blah. Self-doubt, self-questioning. When you got to really, and this is what helps to avoid, you know, the narc trap, is being really in touch with your intuition and your sense of wrong and right and being able to just go live life every day, be present in the moment so you can exist in this flow state where you're just a channel for, you know, divine energy, creative energy, because that's our purpose here on Earth. It's not to suffer at the hand of narcs. It's not to talk about suffering at the hand of narcs. It's to be able to become self-actualized so that we can exist in this state where you're like, you are the artist and life is your canvas, and each thing you do is a brushstroke. I was just writing something the other day, and I was talking about this topic, and I was saying, you know, each brush of your teeth, each wipe of your ass, hopefully front to back, is art, you know? You're the artist. You're constantly creating, and everything you do should be viewed as such. Not in a narc way, like, oh, look at the way how great I just wiped my ass.
Is that how narcs feel when they wipe their ass?
Maybe it's possible, or they just deny that it ever happened because, you know, they're like, I don't even have an asshole. No, I don't have an asshole, no. I won't let you look at mine and no. I won't do some analingus, no. Get that tongue out of my behind and no. I don't want no anal play. Having a boost bean, having a wrong AK. Hanging out the bastion. Dr. Bassinger side.
Ew.
Oh, rest in peace, Dr. Bass. Love you forever. Dr. Bass is my old doctor when I used to take lots of Norcos every day, popping a bunch of pills. It was not fun, it was chill. I loved to watch TV, and one day I had a dream. I was a 902, and oh, it was the best day of my life.
No.
A day I'd like to live twice. Hey, I'd like to live forevermore. I don't even understand what a scrub is for. Why are you always biting at your fingers, Missy? I think you have, what's that disease? Where stuff falls out of a chemtrail, goes into your skin, and gives you Morgellons disease. That's what it's called, and Joni Mitchell has it. It's a shame because it's little tiny things morphing your DNA. from NASA, turning into a robot today.
No, you know what happened? You know those, like, wraps on, like, the tops of, like it was apple vinegar top?
Apple
vinegar. And it's, like, that metal wrap around the, like, the seal.
Yeah, the foil.
Part of that went into my finger.
Why do things always go into your fingers?
I don't fucking know.
But they really do.
I feel like ever since, like, the organite conundrum,
yeah.
I feel like my fingers have been, like, open for business.
Open for
They've
business.
They've just been total, like, hoes, just being stuck in them.
Oh, man.
I thought I was tripping. Like, and then, like, I finally, like, hit it where you know something's stuck in your hand,
ugh.
And it hits, like, a nerve. Oh, it was awful.
No, I don't want that too. No, don't stick anything in my finger under the nail bed. Why are we doing this? See, we just got caught in one of them, a Walking Dead robot zombie
time loop
feedback loop, and it's where you just start thinking about stuff that does not behoove you to think about. Stuff that's not good for you. And then you...
Or, like, the what-ifs and, like...
Yeah.
Like,
the doubt and the bullshit. You gotta just know, like, I'm on the path. This is divine, as evidenced by the very fact that it's happening right now. So I'm on the path. I'm doing the right thing. It's the right thing to me. You know, it helps to have, like, some other source to run things by, like a friend or God or Jesus. Be like, yo, Jesus, should I do this? Because I'm always having abuse being you knew this. You know, Jesus.
I hear sometimes just say out loud, like, should I do this? Like, there's, like, you always get some kind of weird sign, but you just have
yeah.
to, like, I've realized, because whenever I give this advice to people, because
mm-hmm.
like, it's advice that's pretty solid, I 100% would back anything on it since it works for me,
mm-hmm.
and that is, I'm like, you know, if you, even if you're driving and don't know which way, like, if you ask out loud, you'll get some kind of weird sign, and you'll know that's what it
yeah.
is. But I realized that, like, it takes a level of, like, letting go of self-judgment and not feeling, because people feel crazy if they talk out loud to themselves.
Oh, yeah, God.
And that's something I've never felt crazy about doing.
Me neither. Maybe I should have, but luckily I haven't. Like, luckily, if you're already regarded as being, like, the crazy one, it's a lot easier to release judgment and listen to the real things that are, like, you know, answers from spirit.
Do you realize, like, when, like, I once, like, wrote in, like, this journal, I'm like, if you, like, are wondering anything, then just, like, sing. And I didn't mean to rhyme it, like, all
mm-hmm.
weird, but, like, I, like, you know when you're singing to yourself, like, walking around and rhyming,
yeah.
and then, like, you're like, whoa, like, I just answered to my question I didn't know I had.
I know, because all freestyling and just, like, music and creating, it's all coming from another realm, a spiritual realm. It's a very spiritual
thing.
Or
higher self, because you have to have some kind of unlock on, like, self-judgment.
Well, still, that's a higher realm.
You need to have a flow state.
I.e. higher self, higher realm. What you gonna do, develop your film? I don't know. What's gonna be on those pictures? Is it a scene of a crime? Cause you know that scrub that you fuck with is always having abuse by. No, don't do it, scrub. Yeah, so...
Someone once asked me, I think it was actually Cameron, he's like, is a fuckboy, like, a word for a scrub?
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. I just Googled fuckboy today.
Mm-hmm. You never heard me say fuckboy?
I don't think so.
That's good.
It's a gross insult, but a fuckboy is kind of like a scrub. It's like, yeah, always having abuse being talking about stuff and not doing it, so... Yeah, that is what a fuckboy is. It's like a narc. It's another word for a narc. It's another word for a scrub. No. None of those. I didn't want some pantyhose.
I feel like the law of attraction is where it, like, ultimately all comes down to, because it's like, you know, remember we were having a discussion where we ran through, like, all our past relationships and we realized the time loop?
Yeah.
How it literally was this crazy time loop.
And that is where we fall into our Walking Dead robot zombie time loop. Because these loops, these programs, are things that keep us off of our divine path. Keep us away from the success that God, you know, has given us as our birthright. But we fall prey to this overvaluing other people and, you know, completely, like, what's the word? Like, losing ourselves in relationships with these people because we think
that, you know, two halves. Like, you have another half.
Yeah, but really, they just have, like, an assistant.
And also, you have to just be a whole in order to even be in a relationship.
Exactly.
You have to have a good one with yourself.
All those sayings are true. All those, like, annoying sounding sayings.
I always think that, like, all the cliche, like, be the change you want to see in the world and all that, like,
it's... You have to love yourself before you can love someone else. But it's true, and I've really been coming to that realization and a few other realizations about, like, people that do drugs. Like, and I told this to Caitlin and she laughed at me because it's so, like, basic and obvious. But I guess I never, like, truly felt it. Like,
people, hiding in plain sight.
No, people who do drugs make bad decisions, and they're completely unreliable. They say they'll come, they don't show up. You know, they say they're going to do something, their word is no good. And when your word's no good, use a liar. And when you use a liar, use a narc. So, no.
Well, because yeah, and also, like, you're ultimately lying to yourself the most because
exactly.
you're on drugs.
And that's why you can't argue with these narcs, because they are so lost in the self-delusion,
well,
walking dead
rope. Drug addicts?
What?
You mean drug addicts or narcs?
Both. Most is the same thing. Most of the time, it's the same thing. Like, somebody who's going to be lying, especially a pathological liar, is going to be a narcissist. Because real, regular people, like more whole and balanced people, don't lie. Lying is the most fucked up thing that you can possibly do
anything
to someone.
Anything you lie about, whatever you're trying to protect in the moment, you ultimately are guaranteed to lose.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it works.
Whatever you're seeking to avoid looking like is what you end up looking like. It's like...
It's like whatever you fight against, you become versus
right.
fighting for something.
Exactly. Because when we has... Like, doing that sets an intention from the negative, fear-based area. And no positive outcomes can ever come when you're doing something from a place of fear, ever.
And the universe, like, for the law of attraction, doesn't hear... words or good or bad, they hear thought, they hear emotions and
well,
feelings.
They do hear words, and that's why it's really important to change your thoughts so that you're not thinking, for example,
I meant good or bad, like, you know.
No, but like, say you're thinking, I don't want to be sick, dear God or universe, please don't let me be sick. All it hears is sick. Oh, this bitch wants to be sick. It's God, you know, or the universe, whatever you want to call it. And it doesn't have time to sit through all the, you know, hyperbole of people's requests. So that's why it's so important to say, I want to be healthy. To always think about the silver lining. What is the opposite of this thing that I don't want? So I can focus on that instead of focusing on the thing that I really don't want, which is exactly what you'll get if you're focused on it or focused on trying to avoid it. It's a fucked up
trick. It's kind
of
like, I think when people, like, for example, when people try to get me to do, like, plan B hypotheticals.
To take
like,
a plan B? Like a...
no.
Post
for,
unprotected sex?
Like, almost like, what if it doesn't work out and, like, you know, backup plan type things. But sometimes,
right.
like, the energy of the backup plan is like, that's what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you're... It's like when Charlie got run over and I said, God, please send your holy angels to heal her. Or just take her soul to heaven. Like, I put in the backup plan and that's what happened. Not that it was likely she was going to survive that, but...
Oh my God, that photo is just seared into my
fucking
retinas.
Yeah, mine too. That whole day. Terrible.
It was weird when I was driving and, like, parking. I was like, I wonder if Charlie was hit here.
Did you park in the driveway?
No.
Then no. No. She wasn't hit in the street. She wasn't in the driveway. It was one of the more traumatizing and horrible days of my entire life. Please.
What did you talk about in the last podcast?
The last podcast was that night where I was having that peak moment, self-actualization moment. And so I wasn't even there. The Holy Spirit was just moving through me, and I was very on fire. And I was like, yo, love yourself. Put your makeup up on the shelf. Weezer song. Oh, I'm doing a weird Weezer TLC mashup on accident. Accidentally, I ate a Mentos fresh maker. Yeah, I was talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. That's what I was talking about. And self-actualization. And
what's your definition? Or what's like, what is self-actualization?
Self-actualization, you'll have to listen to the last podcast. It's when so this guy Maslow has this hierarchy of needs, like, you know, security needs. And it all coincides with all the chakras, like security is your root chakra. So basically, when you balance out all of your basic needs in life, you have this peak moment where you like understand where you fit in the world and what you've been put here for, not before, and like what your purpose is, you know. And I was talking about mine, which took place on the Giant Drag farewell tour. When everybody,
so your life purpose is over?
No.
I was like...
No, that's just you realize where you fit in, what you do this for, like, what is the point of it all? Everything's not just this, like, random, like, you know, bumblefuck through space and time or whatever, purposeless rock living until you die and then it's over. If I believe that, I'd kill myself. And science has shown that whatever we believe, our brain finds evidence for us to find evidence that that's the truth. So choose what you want to believe in wisely, because it will become true for you no matter what it is.
I have like a whiteboard in my house, and right now it says, whatever you believe is real. I like wrote it like in the, like randomly at one point, but it's like...
It's true. That's why it's also impossible to argue with a narc, because narcs are like...
Oh, my God.
They live the fantasy. They live in a fantasy that's...
They live the dream.
They live a dream. It's the dream.
And he secretly wants to be a narc.
Dude, I would love to be a narc. I like when people call me a narc, because... I'm like, yes, I'm getting there, you know?
sounds so honest.
But the only one who ever calls me a narcissist is the narcissist, because you're in this relationship with somebody who you're reflecting them back to them, and they see it and they hate it. But then at the same time, they can't see anything other than themselves. They can't perceive you. They actually cannot perceive you. All they perceive is this either really positive when you're on idealization mode, or really devalued, and then they kind of dance between the two. As soon as you do something like say no to them, then it's devalue o'clock, and everything nice or good you've ever done is washed away.
But how can you have that perception of what they perceive?
Because I'm living in the truth.
Word.
I'm not living in self, like, delusion like they are. I see all my shitty traits. I've accepted responsibility for everything in my life, good or bad. I'm not the victim. See, they fall into this major, major Walking Dead robot zombie script of, you know, because they know they've done something wrong, probably do lots of things wrong all the time, and they don't have the ability to process shame like we do, or like just like a regular person does. They have to quickly make somebody the enemy, fault find in other people in order to, in their own minds, keep themselves innocent. Because if you did something wrong too, then they're off the hook and they never have to take responsibility or admit wrong or say I'm sorry, because you did it. You reacted poorly to me lying to you about everything, so it's your fault because you're crazy. All I did was completely lie to you. You fucking crazy bitch. Why do you have to act like this? It's because you have abandonment issues. Not me. It's because I have don't fucking lie to me issues. Nothing is worse than someone lying to you.
Especially, like, if they know you well enough to, like, know you know lying. It's like, ugh, it's such a frustrating thing. I don't have the energy to be like, you're lying.
Yeah.
And I don't want to hear what that, like, it's just weird. It's like...
And they're lying to themselves. So it's like something that you almost can't... Well, sometimes they're strictly lying to you. But it's like they're telling you basically, join me in this
so sad
fantasy world and subscribe to my fantasy, or they will take it out on you.
It's also just insulting. It's like, do you think I, like, don't know, like, what you're saying and why?
Yeah, like, do you think I'm a retarded person? Yeah. But they don't, because they think that they're the only ones who are as smart as they are and able to, like, you know, consequently, it's really easy to lie to a narc. Because narcs don't, because they lie to themselves, they can't detect it. Because I practice transparency, I can feel the lie in my body, in my stomach and heart. I feel a physical sensation that feels like being out of alignment.
It sucks, like, if you sense dishonesty, then it's like you're just stuck with, like, that really annoying wonder that you just have because, like, you're human. You know what I mean? That's, like, wonder, like, you know, especially if, like, the dishonesty is such, like, a small detail and, like, just because, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. By omission type situation. Mm-hmm. It's, like, then it's, like, you have this, like, whole imaginary thing going on where it's, like, with me at least, I have to always identify it and cut it off because I'm just, it's so frustrating.
Right. But a lot of times, the thing that keeps popping into your head over and over is what's right. And yeah. You know it. That's, and it nags at you because
that's
it's the
worst
truth.
Part. That's why it's so sad. It's like, why didn't they just tell me? And it's like so hard not to bring it up out loud. But it's like, that's kind of, I mean, you know that that's not a conversation. I'm just saying with anybody. I'm not thinking of like.
Well, with anyone who's a narc, only a narc would fucking just straight boldface lie to people like that because that is someone who has something inherently broken in them to where they think that to appease you. You need to be lied to.
So what's the opposite of that?
The opposite of a lie is the truth.
No, no, like the opposite of all what you're saying. I'm just thinking of, like, how we were talking about, like...
It's a balanced person. It's a person who tells the truth, who has dignity, who has ideals.
Because they don't think about potential outcome of getting, like... Fucked.
Yeah, because they're not stuck in the robot zombie, like, feedback loop of, like, oh, if they really know what I really am... They won't accept me, they won't love me, they'll abandon me, basically. And, you know, conversely, if you lie to me, I'm going to do the same thing. Because that's just not what, you steal someone's free will to choose.
Also, you fuck up their your relationship or friendship, you know what I mean? It's kind of like when people, like, start dating under, like, circumstances that involve any kind of dishonesty just because they want to, like, be more attractive. It's
right.
like
every boyfriend
I've
ever had.
It's like if you manipulate a situation with someone, you guys, it's like you'll never have an ending point where it's, like, anything real. Like,
yeah,
because
it
never
was real.
For the right reason.
Because they never were a real person. That's what people got to realize.
It just sets off a chain of events, even the smallest thing where it's, like, you know, you guys will never be friends or whatever for the right reasons.
Or lovers. I mean, friends, I don't find friends that lie to me like that. It's always relationship things, and because I'm always usually dating a narcissist, and they always have a secret girlfriend or more, because that's kind of the narc way. But I learned something from Richard Grant and Spartan Life Coach that is the best new way to test someone. To see if they have narcissism, is wait till that person, because, you know, narcs are really entitled, and so you tell them no, and you say no with a smile to a request of theirs, an overt request, or a covert manipulative request, which is more likely.
Is the answer actually no?
Well, they're asking you for help in some way, and it's help that they're already entitled to because they someone own you, and so what you do is say no to their request with a smile. And if they become enraged, or if they wait a couple hours and they start punishing you, or if they, like, turn baby on you, and, like, they have some negative reaction to you saying no to them.
I feel like if you even have to test someone, it's kind of right then and there. It's like you obviously already got an intuition about something that you should follow.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If someone can own you, then you're not in the right.
Well, you don't know that they are doing that. It's like,
but, like, you know, you shouldn't be someone
who can
be.
It's a spirit of control.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you can be controlled, then that also says something.
But anyone can be controlled to a degree. I mean, we're all living here on this prison planet being controlled by... That's why I don't listen to music, watch TV, read the newspaper, read a magazine. You know, I don't play... Excuse you.
I hate you.
I don't play...
This thing is so uncomfortable. I'm sitting on
here,
a conversion table.
Sit on this thing. I don't give a fuck.
Where are you going to go?
I'll just... hover.
Okay.
What was I talking about? I don't remember.
I thought your leg was just going to give out.
So, what happens is these people will have a negative reaction, and then you know, and then you can flee, but it's probably too late. But yeah, we're all under control. We're all under mind control. We're all, and we all get stuck in these robot zombie modes where we're like thinking too much and acting too little. And then we lose the present moment.
There's such like a weird line between like figuring out your past patterns in like a productive way and letting them surface versus spending your time really analyzing your past to a point where you're just kind of living in it.
Yeah, and then you're dead. And you're a walking dead robot.
Which sucks is like you're ultimately like trying to be productive, you know?
Right, but you're going at it all wrong. See, what we need to do is when we have a repeating thing in our life, it's not because, oh, life for me is just this way and this is always going to happen. It's because every time you're given this situation, this lesson, like we get these lessons,
like
right?
Coincidences or synchronicities.
Yeah, or cycles. It's like those are, that's life trying to help you work it out.
Even illnesses, like your body's on your team, it's trying to tell you something.
Right, but it's up for you to decode, oh shit, this is happening, I'm in a relationship with a narc again, like, what have I done this time to get here? How have I allowed my boundaries to be crossed and now I'm back here? Like, how don't I protect myself? And one of the big ways for codependence is getting too vulnerable too quick, telling all your most private information to someone right off the bat. That's not a healthy way of interacting.
Well, it sucks because it should be, but there are people out there who you just can't do that with.
Yeah, because they'll use it against you.
Yeah, but it sucks because, like, you know, that's like such an awesome feeling when you connect with someone because you click on mm-hmm. that level. And but I guess some people just take advantage of that. They're supposed to
earn your trust, because that's a sign of being borderline personality disorder, actually, is to hyper bond with people and to treat them like you're actually closer than you are. And it's a weird, like, boundary wash type thing. It's like, and that is, you know, the narc's favorite candy in the shop is the borderline personality disorder, because they fit together like two peas in a pod.
Well, isn't borderline personality disorder one of, like, the textbooks, personality disorders that like add up to a narcissist? It's like antisocial. I don't know about this stuff.
It's a different one. The borderline is like the mate for the narcissist or the codependent.
I don't know the whole textbook conundrum.
The DSM-5 is the diagnostic statistics manual that a bunch of doctors get in a room, sit down, and come up with new titles for diseases. And
that's awful.
I know. It's all like pretty made up stuff, which is like crazy, because then it's like, well, just a narc is made up.
But just think about like how many diagnoses there's going to be that people just manifest their own body and treat their own body like it's sick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but these people are sick, and they're sick from some trauma that happened in early childhood.
Or ingrained beliefs. Yeah, because, I mean, think about the disease. It's like dis-ease.
Right, but they have a diseased mind instead of a diseased body, which will eventually, you know, physicalize into the physical body.
That's why, you know, people, like, can be like, oh, like, I don't know how this person got cancer. They've been healthy all their life, but it's like they might have something in their head that they've, you know.
Well, notice the people who get cancer are always the sweetest, nicest people of them all. I was talking about this on the show a few weeks ago, right after Alvin died. It's always the saints. It's the really sweet people, usually, not always, and it's because the spiritual root of cancer is like a long held secret or deep hurts, deep seated wounds that, you know,
just suppressed or like something ingrained in your belief system and thought process. That's why it's untreatable. Like, we know, that's why everyone's like, oh, cure for cancer.
There's a million cures for cancer. It's totally treatable and it's curable with natural
shit.
But you have to cure it
through Western medicine.
At its roots. Well, Western medicine is for killing the entire planet.
Right.
These are the big pharmaceutical companies own the colleges where they train the doctors. So it's not set up for success. It's set up to kill everyone.
There's this great movie that just came out called Heel, where it's, like, the same kind of setup as A Secret. It has some of the same people. And it's, like, just about, you know, it even, like, adds in, like, all the scientific facts of, you know, just cancer and all these diseases that, like, it really, like, when people do, like, release of their belief system type energy work, it's like they have these miraculous recoveries and stuff.
Miraculous.
Because we're all, like, made up of energy. Like,
because we're all made up of energy. What the fuck cancer want with me? Better step off with these nuts. Step off with these nuts. This thing's going in my butt, yeah. Going right in my butt. About the chair I'm sitting on, not a narcissist. Cause if we're talking about narcs, man, I'd rather take the fist. I mean, I'd rather plead the fist.
That's hilarious.
Goes just like this. Why do narcissist guys always wanna put it in your butt? Demons is what I'm telling you. They like poo, just like
God.
All the demons do in hell. They love the smell.
Oh my, I was letting you go on this.
They love the smell and the texture too, and the taste is to die for. Ooh, 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 it's a favorite, yeah, and you know it's tits. But it's inside your butt, so you know it's shit. Hey.
Oh my God.
Of least resistance.
You're welcome, I'll thank you later.
When you get the dicks in your mouth tonight from a non-narc guy, think Annie and Asia, cause you know we're tight, alright.
You're welcome.
You can thank me later, Mom, when you get done, just the size of old King King Kong. Uh-oh, look out now, it's coming your way.
What?
Just say thanks to Annie and Asia, cause we're so great.
And we love you.
And we love anal sex. JK, LOL, y'all.
Abuse bean.
Always getting abuse bean on. Rest in peace to the guy from AC/DC who made my guitar, Malcolm Young Series 2.
And Charles Manson.
Rest in peace, Charles Manson, but where you're going, there's no rest for you. Because you are going to hell, unlike Annie and Asia, because we're so swell. Charles Manson, killing those.
I didn't know if this was like a ending song.
Oh, it could be.
But then you're going into it.
Well, I'm just thinking, the Tate LaBianca murders. Oh yeah, don't think we forget those. We wouldn't forget them, you see, because they were murdered with such brutality. That was mean. On a highway to hell, like Malcolm Young might be as well. Although I hope that he's not, but maybe Jesus he forgot. And you know in hell it burns a lot, and you know it's gonna be bad. Ask Scott. Cause he knows that this is a best show.
Oh my God.
He knows hell is no place to go. Good old Scott, yes, you see, he loves Annie and Asia, that's you and me. Thanks for listening to Empath of Least Resistance. I'll see you next time for Asia. This is Annie. And we're the best.
And for Annie, this is Asia.
Just ask Asia and me. Oh, yeah.
We love you.